You made a great decision to join In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, because special guest, Dan Horde, four-time Ohio Broadcaster of the Year. Been doing games with Dan with the Cincinnati Bengals since 2011. And I can tell you, there's nobody better. He's professional. He's prepared. He's talented. On top of all that, he's a great human being. We're going to talk Bengals with Dan Horde. Welcome, everybody, to our luxurious First Star Studios here. You're listening, and we appreciate you listening to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And my special guest, and I mean very, very special guest today, is none other than broadcaster extraordinaire Dan Horde. He handles the Bengals. He handles the Bearcats, football and basketball. And you think players and coaches need a break. Dan Horde needs to get that battery charged up because, man, when the fall comes, I should say the end of July comes and training camp starts, it is a whirlwind. Welcome to the show, my man.
Lap, it's great to be in the trenches with you. The Dan Horde family room, I'm not sure, is quite as spectacular as the First Star Logistics Dave Lapham in the Trenches studio, but happy to be on as your guest. Looking forward to sharing a cubicle next to you at Paycor Stadium beginning on July 26th.
Well, I enjoy every minute of that because all you are is the four-time Ohio Sportscaster of the Year, 2014, 2017, 2019, 2020, as determined by National Sports Media Association. So, I mean, Hall of Fame, UC Hall of Fame, I mean, it's an honor to do games with you, man. It's fun, isn't it? I mean, it's just a good old time.
You know what? It's been fun for all 12 of our years together, but it's been especially fun the last couple. I've got a Super Bowl logo on this shirt somewhere. There it is. And honestly, Lap, I feel privileged to be the play-by-play announcer on the radio during the Joe Burrow era. And I'm guessing you feel the same way about being the analyst.
No doubt.
To have a front row seat for what this kid is doing and is likely to continue doing for years to come is an amazing opportunity. I don't take it for granted. I think we're going to have the opportunity to say the Bengals have won the Super Bowl together for the first time in franchise history. And wouldn't that be something?
It really would. It would be unbelievable. And the ripple effect of the Joe Burrow dominance is obvious. We just were both involved with Joe's golf tournament that was a huge moneymaker, no question about it. So Joe is aware enough to use his platform to help others, you know, and helping the community, not only the Cincinnati community, but Athens, Ohio, and down in Louisiana. I mean, they get it. His dad, Jimmy, his mother, Robin, you know, Joe, his girlfriend, everybody gets it. And then now other teammates, you know, Sam Hubbard and Logan Wilson, all these guys, foundations, platforms. It's a heck of a dynamic watching what's going on with this Cincinnati Bengals in the community, isn't it?
Well, you've been doing the same thing for years with the Down syndrome with your golf tournament, and I applaud everybody that gives back to the community that way. I love the very simple slogan of the Joe Burrow Foundation. Everyone has a responsibility to do good.
Yep.
Very simple, very truthful. He doesn't just say it, he lives it. They raised nearly $1 million that day at the golf tournament and the after party, which is obviously an amazing number. And, you know, it's funny with Joe. There are a lot of these events out there. People are very generous with their time and spending their money to play in these golf events. In Joe's case, it's the one where it was by invitation.
Right.
Normally, you're trying to get people to sign up, hoping to sell every foursome out. In Joe Burrow's case, it's, hey, we'll give you the opportunity to spend money with his foundation in order to be part of it. And people happily signed up because that's the appeal that Joe Burrow has right now.
No, absolutely. There are no two ways about it. And it's just, he has, you know, the it factor, and it factor can be defined so many ways. And with him, there's a lot of avenues to go down, I guess, with respect to the it factor. But I think one of the things about him that strikes me the most, no matter what the situation, the environment that he's in, the contest that he's in, you name a situation, he is always poised. He never is outside of himself. You know, it's like he never's rattled. That's the thing about him. He's got that mentality of, I'm good. I know I'm good. I know what I need to do, and it's all good.
No doubt about it. You know, it's funny. We were talking about these celebrity golf events. At one of them several weeks ago, I decided for my podcast just to interview famous Cincinnati sports people, not necessarily football players, about Joe Burrow, get their reaction to Joe Burrow. So Barry Larkin, for example, I said, you know, what do you admire and respect about Joe Burrow? And those are the things he started with, the poise, the confidence, the leadership ability, not the accuracy, not the athleticism. It's those other qualities that stand out to greats from other sports. And I thought that was really telling.
I thought that, asked him about, you know, what it meant, to teammates that might be dealing with contract situations and Joe Burrow reaching out to that particular teammate, meaning Jonah Williams, you know, and Joe Burrow and Joe, you know, looked and he said, well, you know, we're a family. This is, I mean, the loyalty, the look on his face almost like, you know, brought tears to my eyes. You know, it's like, man, this guy, once you are in Joe Burrow's inner circle, man, there's probably not a better place to be. I'm telling you.
Well, the expression he used when you asked that question at a news conference was true love.
Yep.
He didn't talk about the brothership of teammates or anything like that. He used the expression true love. And I thought his voice got caught up for a moment before he continued. And I could see you in the audience kind of getting choked up a little bit because I know what that means to you. The guys that you were teammates with for 10 years in Cincinnati, it's not just the brothership of teammates. There's a true love that's continued to this day. And that's what it's like to be a professional football player, to go through those, you know, those rough moments, those hardships, the injuries that you endure, et cetera, day after day after day. It does become true love.
So, Dan, when you graduated from the Newhouse School of Communications in 1985 and you got into the broadcast profession, has it been everything that you anticipated, everything that you expected?
It's been more. Reality has exceeded my dreams. I honestly think that had I gone back to my tiny hometown of Jamestown, New York, or Lakewood, New York, and done the Friday night high school football game of the week on WJTN radio, I would have been happy. I wanted to just get into sports broadcasting. My dream was to be a Major League Baseball announcer full time. That never really worked out, but I think the way things did work out were actually better for me and for my family. But mostly I just wanted to broadcast games. So to be one of 32 NFL radio play-by-play announcers, like I said, reality has exceeded my dreams. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you, you're as good as there is. There's no question about that. And I think not only, you know, do you have, you know, the talent, but you combine talent with work ethic. You know, you're going to have a successful recipe there, no matter what walk of life you're in, whatever your occupation, whatever your dream, whatever. And you got it, man. And you're as good as it gets. There's no question about it. Where'd you get that work ethic?
The homework's part of the fun. I really enjoy it. And shoot, you grind as well. Played for 12 years, broadcasting for more than 35, but I see those notepads that you have with your tiny handwriting, the hieroglyphics that only one person on the face of the earth could read. But I really do enjoy prepping for the games. And you do 10 times, probably more than that, 20 times the amount of homework that you actually use in a game or in the shows that we do during the course of the week. But when you do the homework and you write down a nugget in your notepad or on your spotting board or whatever you want to call it, and then the appropriate moment comes up in the game where it makes sense and it's appropriate to use, there's a great feeling of satisfaction that, you know what, that work that I put in just paid off, and maybe the audience considers that something interesting or funny or whatever. But in your own mind, you know, okay, that work that I put in came in handy at this specific moment, and that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to entertain and inform the audience, and when you find something in your research that allows you to do that, that's a great feeling as a broadcaster.
It is. And you know, I'm with you. It's like you have all this information. You might get to 10% of it, you know, during the course of the game. Yeah, maybe. And everything else just hits the floor. But that's cool because, you know, if you get anything that you had done, if anything works its way, it's like, wouldn't have had that one if hadn't done that, you know. Right. Plus the fact that, you know, like you, you know, I just like to learn as much as I can about the teams and the guys, and you know, just I just am curious about it, you know, and want to fulfill that curiosity. So it's I mean, what we do, people say, you know, geez, when they start to describe it as work, I'm like, I don't, to me, it's almost like when your vocation, your avocation are the same thing, man, that's high cotton right there.
Yeah, when people say, you know, boy, you really work hard, I kind of push back and say I work a lot. It's not working hard, but it is working a lot. Right. My late father, Larry Hoard, was an upholsterer, and I worked for him one summer, and my job that summer was to remove car seats from cars so that the upholstery could be changed, and then you had to put the car seat back in. Now, it was me and another young college-age kid that were doing it. So if you picture a car seat, they're very heavy. Yep. To remove them, you're hunched over in a really confined space. So it's backbreaking work. You are a moving company lugger, so you know what I'm talking about.
Right on.
So at the end of the day, my back ached. My hands were sore. It was miserable. That's hard work.
Right.
So my father worked hard. I just work a lot. There is a very significant difference.
So we talked about the Bengals being in a good position. Number 9, Joe Burrow. Man, the AFC, Dan, it's unreal, isn't it? I mean, you look at it, there's 10, at least, it seems like, teams that they have a quarterback that if he gets hot, he can go to the Pro Bowl and take his team to the playoffs. I mean, the AFC is so deep. The NFC maybe has 3 or 4. The AFC has 10 to 12. It's crazy.
I was reading a story today about Aaron Rodgers, and it kind of made that point, saying, yeah, he's with the Jets. Jets seem to have a good young team. It's probably rejuvenating for him. On the other hand, look at the gauntlet that he's now facing in the AFC as opposed to where he's been all these years, in a weak division with the Green Bay Packers beating up on teams that were struggling. Right. So Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, he might have a tremendous bounce back season and be back to MVP level. Not even win his division, struggle to get into the playoffs. Who knows? We don't know how good the Jets are going to be. So you're right. It is much easier to identify a team in the AFC that does not have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback than it is, you know, picking out the ones that are worthy of that.
It is. It's crazy. And the team that scares me is Miami. They are so good. Their roster, I mean, their roster depth rivals, you know, what's going on up here in Cincinnati for sure. But the quarterback position, obviously, you know, Tua, if healthy, but that's the thing, you know, if healthy, and you hate to have to depend on that scenario right there. But man, the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo, every division has multiple teams, not just a favorite. They've got multiple teams that can get it done. I mean, everybody's all high on the Baltimore Ravens now in the AFC North, and rightfully so. I mean, we've seen them. We know what they can do defensively, and Lamar Jackson, and now he's got weapons in different offensive coordinators. It's just, you can be a good football team, a darn good football team, and, you know, fight to be a couple of games over 500. You know, I mean, it's that kind of dynamic in the AFC. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Especially the AFC North. The AFC North looks brutal this year. Yep. You mentioned Baltimore. Everything they said about Deshaun Watson during the Browns OTAs and mandatory minicamp was that he looks like the Deshaun Watson of old. If that's true, they're going to be good. I mean, I thought the Steelers were going to fall off the table last year, and in the first half of the season, it looked like I was right. By the end of the year, they had a winning record. Kenny Pickett looks like, if he's not Joe Burrow level, at least he's a very solid NFL quarterback. And with the stuff that they have at their other spots, particularly on defense, that might be enough for Pittsburgh to be a legit contender. And the fact that the Bengals have finished first gives them the hardest schedule in the division. So the AFC North is brutal. It makes it hard to be the number one seed in the AFC because it's hard to dominate your own division. That obviously helped the Patriots for a long, long time, beating up on the other teams in the East. So it's going to be very interesting. I do think the Bengals are still the best team in the division, but you've got to stay mostly healthy and you've got to have some luck on your side.
Absolutely. Knock on wood. Got to have that factor is maybe the most important. There are no two ways about it. So when I look at this Cincinnati Bengals football team, offensively, the position that people are going to have their laser focus on is right tackle, in my opinion. And everything else seems to be pretty well. I'm not saying starters are, it's stamped. Here's 21 starters, or 20 starters, 10 on offense, 10 on defense. And we're talking about right tackle and safety. Defensively, it's safety, and offensively, it's the right tackle position. That's a good place to be. But I do think that the competition for that right tackle position and who's going to perform at the safety position, that's going to be fun to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that right tackle battle now that Jonah Williams is saying all the right things and back and seemingly comfortable with the fact that he's moving from left to right. I think you would have to say he is the favorite going in, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win the job. Jackson Carmen looked slim and his effort was great during this offseason program. Cody Ford wants to play right tackle. Who knows about Lael Collins and the status of his surgically repaired knee? I just know that out of all those guys, they're going to find somebody that can give them competent play at right tackle. And with the addition of a four-time Pro Bowler at left tackle and the play of the guys in the interior, I think it all adds up to the best offensive line they've had since 2015. And for Joe Burrow to have done what he's done behind an offensive line that didn't always play consistently well, I think it bodes really well for the future that he's likely to have very solid play across the board on his offensive line this year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And if there's one person that I had to pick to say, okay, well, you've lost two of your safeties, you've lost your center field, basically, but here's some candidates, here's some guys that have various levels of experience in the National Football League, but they all have shown that they can play, mold them a little bit. Lou Anarumo would be high on my list to pick that. Let's mold these guys. I mean, Lou gets it. Lou knows what he's doing. And the thing about him is players that I talk to in this as a former player, when they can break it down and make it so easy to learn, that's a great teacher, And I think Lou Anarumo is an outstanding teacher here.
So Nick Saban, arguably one of the top three or four defensive minds of all time, is at his heart a defensive backs coach.
Yep.
Bill Belichick, maybe the best defensive coach of all time. At his core, a defensive backs coach. Mm-hmm. Lou Anarumo, a great defensive coordinator, shaping up to be one of the best in franchise history. At his core, a defensive backs coach. Is that the formula, Lap? Does it start from a coaching perspective, from the back, overseeing the whole thing as you are putting together great defenses? That kind of seems to make sense to me.
All the examples you gave are tremendous examples. And I think that perspective of defense, I think that's a formula for success. From the back to the front, mm-hmm. I think you have a panoramic, view of everything instead of, the other way around. I mean, once you're on that front line, you're wondering, you're hoping what guys behind you are doing and all that. But that's why the safety position is so critical and Lou values it so much. And I think he feels good about the guys that he has there. Those guys see it all. And the safeties make all the calls, not just, some of the calls, it starts with them communicating to their corners, but then the linebackers will hear those calls, make calls accordingly, and then make a call to the defensive line. I mean, the trickle-down effect all goes from back end to front end. So it makes sense what you're pointing out there. There's no question about it. And Lou is very, very in tune with his players and the relationship between he and the rest of his coaching staff and the coaching staff and the players, the coaching staff. We've talked about it, just the overall environment, the overall culture that everybody talks about is so strong. It really is.
And I assume it's going to take a little while for the safeties to, meld together well and have the sense of chemistry that you would like to have back there. It's not going to be good or as good early on as it was between Jesse Bates and Von Bell, but right. between Lou Anarumo and Rob Livingston, who's a great safeties coach, I think they're going to come along really quickly. And as you pointed out, the talent's there. Yeah. Dax Hill was a first round draft pick. Jesse Bates and Von Bell were not first round draft picks. Nick Scott was a late draft pick, but he's proven to be a solid NFL player. And I think Jordan Battle was one of the stars among the rookies during the offseason program. It's so obvious that that guy is going to know exactly where he needs to be by in time for week one. It couldn't be more obvious. The level of sophistication that he played at Alabama and the number of snaps that he had was a major reason why the Bengals were interested. And I think of all the rookies, he's the one that's going to, you know the playbook inside and out in time for the season opener against the Browns.
I agree with you, Dan. Watching him, it was like watching a veteran safety. He was the guy that was recognizing things and the first to communicate with the other members of the secondary, whether it was rookie or veteran, alongside of him. And I think, you know, the one thing that that Jesse Bates, not one thing, but a thing that was very, very important to the team was his ability to do that, his ability to recognize and communicate what he saw. And he recognized it correctly and communicated it correctly. Jordan Battle's the same. He's cut from that cloth. Mm-hmm. He can be the guy that is the big communicator back there like Jesse was. Von Bell as well. Von Bell was a strong communicator in that regard as well. So, you know, Dax Hill, Lou Anarumo, there was a method to the madness, exposing him to all the things that he exposed him to as a rookie. So he can kind of get a feel for what everybody's supposed to do. Because that's the thing. The great ones, like we're talking about, they understand where they're supposed to be, but they understand why. So therefore, they understand where everybody else is supposed to be. Because they see the whole thing. They're not tunnel vision on their assignment. They see the whole big picture. And, man, you want as many of those kind of guys as you can get. And the Bengals have done a good job of selecting that type of player. So let me wrap it up with this, because I appreciate you carving time, because you are a busy man. Before this all starts, Dan, before the rubber meets the road, you have gone on some unbelievable vacations with your family over the years. Where are you guys going this year, my man?
All right, this is pretty elaborate this time around. We're going all out. We're blowing the budget in 2023.
There you go.
Here we go. France, Luxembourg, Germany, Liechtenstein, and Switzerland.
Sweet.
So we're combining a lot of things on that trip, a little hiking in the Alps to a little fancy time in Paris. So my wife and son and I are going on a huge vacation this year. It'll be great. My son Sam is going into his senior year of high school next year, so this might be the last time we can take a big trip like this together, so we decided to do a doozy.
That's awesome. I mean, Sam, education of your children is paramount to all parents, and you is, I know that's big to you. That's huge education for Sam.
Agreed.
You and Peg are doing it right, man. Big time.
Wow, Sam is lucky. He's got an impressive passport for a 17-year-old kid. He's traveled quite a bit, so he's very fortunate. But my oldest sister, Kim, who's 8 years older than me, was an exchange student in Argentina when she was in high school, and that gave me the travel bug. When she came back from that and talked about her experiences and living with a family and being immersed in the culture, that really began to appeal to me. So I was an exchange student in Spain when I was in high school. My wife was born in Germany, so she's always had the wanderlust of seeing the world. So we have traveled extensively. That's what I like to spend my money on. I don't drive a fancy car. We don't have a multi-million dollar home, but I do like to spend the money that we have seeing as much of the world as we can. So I'm really looking forward to this trip coming up.
I'll tell you, enjoy it. It's well-deserved, well-earned. You are the best, my man. I look forward to another season. 2011. I can't believe it's already, been doing these games together since 2011. It's unbelievable. Time flies when you're having fun, you know?
And we are having fun, and we're going to have a ton of it this year. I know people ask you, they've been asking me, what do you think, how the Bengals are going to do this year? I keep saying, if Joe Burrow's healthy, I'm going to knock on wood. They're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. And yep. I genuinely believe that. And hopefully this is the year that, that Mike Brown gets to hold up a Lombardi trophy. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be stronger than new rope right there. Unbelievable. That would be strong. Can't thank you enough, my man. Safe travels, and look forward to training camp at the end of July at Paycor. We'll be spending a lot of days together at Paycor.
Yes, we will. We should have Lynn and Peg, our wives, should hang out together since we're spending more time with each other than we spend with them.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Dan. You're the best.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.